What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
Back at the Patrick Gales Show, special guest friend of mine, now friend of Coach Gales, my man, former Seattle head coach, Carm Mascarello, and the Boss Man Show, big Falcons fan as well. Carm, good to see you, brother. I'm glad you're doing your thing, man, out here still, as you still pushing it through, man, doing your thing, brother. I see you out there working, Carm. How you been, bro?
Oh, everything is good. You know, nice summer. Get a chance to go to the beach a little bit and enjoy the family. And, you know, right now I'm just trying to, you know, help young men in you know, their circles, provide advisement through, you know, wealth management services, and still involved in the game, coaching on the EYBL circuit and helping develop, you know, young men that way too. So always just trying to give back and, you know, help everyone get better.
And Carm, you know, it's funny you said it, because I've been talking to coaches a lot about this financial literacy. I know for me at Tennessee State, I didn't have that. I was the kid that had 12 credit cards because they all came to the student center and gave us pizza and a t-shirt and it bit me in the butt. And now it's a whole new game now with these kids, Carm, as you know, with NIL, rev share, they don't realize they're 1099s now. You have to pay tax on that money. It's not free money. Now, for me, it was just me being a fool with credit cards. I had paid for it in my 20s and 30s to get out of debt. And what I'm thinking about my debt now. But talk about trying to get these young men to understand their finances, how to put it away, tax piece of it, and knowing it's also a net to this, not just the gross you're getting.
Yeah, no, you know, it's about what you can save. And to be honest with you, you know, we all played. And so now these guys, and I've traveled the country, I've been to various, you know, D1 schools, various levels. You know, these guys don't need much, you know, maybe a couple $100 a week if they want to take a friend out, go to the movies, go out to eat. You know, maybe if they're of age, they're, you know, going to a few parties. But I've talked to a bunch of my friends that are assistants at you know, varying levels, Division 1. Once that workout ends Friday morning at 10 a.m., some of these dudes are on that first thing smoking to Miami or Vegas. And next thing you know, they're staying at the Ritz. And, you know, hey, that's great. Reward yourself. Well, maybe wait till the end of summer school, right? Or, you know, maybe get your boys together and everyone's making a little money on the team. You know, maybe throw something that's going to help build team chemistry and have a little get together where you're getting some wings and some pizza and you're watching a UFC fight or NBA playoffs or, you know, whatever it may be. But a lot of these guys, you know, this is undue pressure for them. You know, if they haven't had money before, now you got different people coming out of the woodwork that want to, you know, get a handout here or there. And it's like, oh, well, I get $20,000 deposited directly into my bank account, and I see it right here on the screen. So that's for them. That's their reality, where it's like, hey, let's get that money invested. Let's give you a little bit of an allowance. But at the end of the day, let's save some money. Let's put it in an IRA that's going to grow tax-free. You know, now you're putting stuff away, and now you're not taxed on a higher number, right? You're taxed on a lower number because you're getting some stuff set aside, you know, and that's not even talking about, hey, you know, some of these guys got it, right? They're going to invest in real estate. You know, maybe they have someone in the family that can help them. But at the end of the day, right, all these colleges, especially if this money's coming from revenue sharing, that compliance officer or that assistant AD that's looking at the payroll, they don't care where that money's getting deposited. They just want to check the box to say they did their job and they paid the player. But now, who's going to help that player once he is paid, right? And now does mom or dad have a mortgage, right? Can they refinance their home? Can they do some things maybe for some siblings where they can have some college funds set up? So now everybody in the family's, you know, doing well. But I said this before, and I actually just tweeted something this morning. And obviously, Amir Abdul-Rahim was a good friend, and he always talked about keeping the main thing the main thing. Well, all these kids and parents and everyone wants to talk about this money, but you're not getting paid if you can't hoop, right? You got to keep the main thing, and you got to work at your craft. You got to be a great person. You got to know how to, you know, work with people and communicate at a high level. And that's another thing, these young men and women, you know, that's this device right here can really be a distraction because you're comparing yourself to everyone else you see on Instagram and social media as opposed to running your own race. So for me, you know, I've really found peace. I really love who I work for. You know, I work at UBS for Jim Hart, who also runs the City Rocks. I played for him way back in the day in the late 90s. And, you know, so just surrounding yourself with great people, just like when you were a head coach or an assistant coach and how you hire staff, you know, you want to love coming to work every day. So for me, it's really been great. So just being able to help and give back for me is the blessing.
Coach, I have a question because it's funny. I was in New York a few months ago now, and I was with some guys that are doing the same thing you're doing, and we're talking about everything that you're bringing up. And then I was in Florida last week about the same thing with football players. How important is it for a former college coach to be in the space you're in to give that advice to parents and to student athletes because they don't know? And I think what you're saying and how you're resonating, you know, the message you have, I think it matters you being and having the background you have as a college coach.
Yeah, Patrick, that's for me, we're trying to kind of do this a little differently. Like, you know, there's not really this type of position created in a lot of these, you know, financial sector jobs. So I kind of want to be a hybrid, right? I'm dealing with the coaching side of it. I'm dealing with the family side of it. I'm dealing with the investment side of it. You know, let's be honest, I don't want to deal with your money. I don't want to be a financial advisor. I want to help coach you to really alleviate stress so you can be your best self where you're not worried about your money, right? Your money's taken care of by, you know, a great person that's going to really take care of you and your family, and you're going to have goals, but that's going to grow, right? You don't need to touch that. So when the ball does stop bouncing, and that's the other thing, this is a harsh reality, right? I played overseas in Europe. It wasn't glamorous. You know, there was times I was playing in A2 in Italy and Ragusa in Sicily. And I used to have a Sterno heat lamp I used to have to turn on to get warm, and it would warm up the room. I would turn it off, go to bed, and I would sleep in sweatpants, a hooded sweatshirt, and mittens because I was a shooter, and we always had an early morning practice, and I needed my hands warm in order to feel the seams on the basketball. So if you love playing the game, you may make more money in the 5 years now which the NCAA has blessed you with to play in college. You may make more money in college than you do playing overseas. And obviously, hey, let's make the NBA. I hope everyone makes the NBA. But as we know, that percentage of people that makes the NBA is very small. And you have to be the elite of the elitist. And so that ball stops bouncing in the U.S. You have to go to Belgium, Holland, France, Turkey, Romania, wherever you have to go. Well, hopefully that money you made during college is still growing and you don't need it. And you can live off the money you're making playing overseas. Because you know what? that money you're making overseas is probably going to be less than you were making in college at first, until you can hopefully get to a EuroLeague team or a cup team, a first division team in Italy or France or Greece, and now you're making big money. And then, hey, why even go back to try to make the NBA? Why go in the G League? You can make great money, travel the world. Now, obviously, not everyone can travel the world either, right? They're not used to those accommodations. They're not used to being uncomfortable as much. But now, obviously, we're on Zoom. When I played, I had to spend 20 euros to go to the internet cafe on the corner and sit there for an hour to send emails to stay connected. Now these guys got all sorts of gadgets that they got in their contract to live in Rome or Milan. And I mean, if I could do it again, I'd still try to play. I had a European passport, but I felt it was time to get into coaching.
No doubt. And Carmen has come. How do you get these young men who are borderline first round draft picks to decide to stay in college or risk it going to the NBA and being a G League player or getting a second round exception like 1.4 million? It could have made more in college and vice versa with 5 and 5 rule now. Do you feel like high school kids will have a more of a chance now with it being 5 and 5? Or it's still going to be old and stay old, in your opinion?
Yeah, so a couple things there, right? So one, advising our players in our EYBL program, we want guys to go and develop and get better. And you have to go where you're going to play. It's almost like you want to go down a level, right? As opposed to going to the highest level you can play. You want to go down a level because one, as you alluded to, boss man, kids are going to get fifth years. So all these rosters right now in college that you'll see kind of rolling out in August and September, all those true seniors, that school is going to try to retain them if they're a piece that they want. So now, schools that thought they had four scholarships because they had four seniors may not have any. So the smaller schools in the lower levels, right? Usually, if they have a fourth year senior, that kid's probably going to hit the portal unless they have an absurd amount of money to keep them. So we want our guys, especially, our goal is to place every kid Division I, and we've been able to do that, throughout the years. We're excited. We got Lucas Murillo at Illinois, Amari Wooten at Rutgers, Parrish Edmund at Siena, Darian Moore at Seton Hall, Braden Jones at Fairfield. So, we're able to kind of, do it, but it's also being able to provide that advice and knowing the landscape. And now, hey, in that same vein, if you're going to school, don't worry about chasing those dollars because you'll have a chance to make more money if you go and produce and you get better, right? It doesn't make sense to go to the highest level for maybe a little incremental raise in money if you're sitting the bench and then that next year you're going to make the same or less when you can go somewhere, show your worth, get better, develop. And then, hey, that school has enough money to retain you as a sophomore. Great. And then the other thing is we say, hey, if your family can afford or you have the need to go to the Ivy League or the Patriot League and you can get a high level degree, Patriot League, you can go to summer school. You can graduate from a Patriot League school in 3 years. Ivy League, they've shown that you can graduate in 3 years. Now you have that degree on your resume and you have 2 years left to really earn money and you're in your 20s. So now you're competing against those younger guys. So, Bossman, to answer that question, I still think that the schools are always going to try to stay old now if they can, right? But a lot of that is expensive. I mean, the year I got fired at Siena, we had a donor that wanted to start a collective, and my best point guard was offered $75,000 to stay at Siena, and that was back when I wasn't allowed to even be involved in those negotiations. Now, I should have been. I should have said, hey, forget the rules. If this is going to cost me my job because I can't get the point guard I need and I have the one I want in my program, we're only offering him 75. I'll take 75 out of my pocket. So he's at 150 and now he doesn't go to Oklahoma. And then, hey, because he had some injuries there at Oklahoma and Georgia Tech. Well, I can keep him safe because I know what his limitations are. Let me get him paid. Let me stay employed. But you learn, right? Everyone has ulterior motives. No one, and I was an alum of the school, right? Scholar athlete, National Honor Society, had won back-to-back titles in the regular season as a head coach, helped, Fran McCaffrey build a team that went to three straight NCAA tournaments, and two of those players I helped recruit's jerseys are hung in the rafters, and none of it mattered. So for me, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to flip this thing. I'm going to get to know the money players. I'm going to get to know the agents. And that's the other piece, right? these guys that can either test the draft or go in the draft and then have the option to come back, great. But also the agents you're dealing with. Are you dealing with the guys that have their players, best interest, right? I like dealing with the agents that have guys that they want to see be professional, whether it's in the league or overseas. I don't deal with as many guys that are just, and then obviously in everything, right? There's the good guys and the bad guys and people that take advantage of, I want to say not ignorance, but lack of knowledge, right, in this space. So being able to kind of help as well. We help our players pick their agents too, if they're coming and they need one. If they feel they need an agent, we have helped them go through that vetting process, and we have guys that we trust as well. So it's almost like a whole 360 encompassing kind of space where we want to be able to advise and help our EYBL guys. But parent, you forget what when you were this age, parents don't know. Like right now, it's a dead period. Right? It's a dead period till I think August 17th or 18th. Well, you can't take visits. But, the one thing I do say is, hey, what head coaches are actually recruiting your son right now? Let's make sure we're taking notes, right? We don't want fake offers. Fake offers don't help anybody. It may hurt your recruitment because people think that, oh, that level school is recruiting, we can't get involved. Now, good assistants are going to call regardless, right? If they like a player, they're going to call. They're not going to worry about the internet recruiting, because there's a lot of internet recruiting right now too.
Coach, you're giving me PTSD, Coach. When you say internet recruiting, it's so true. Now, I want to really focus in on the conference you came from, Coach. I have such a high respect for that conference. You talked about your accolades, but so many players from that conference go on and do such great things. Talk about the profile of coaches, with you being at Siena for such a while. Talk about your profile and why you were successful there and what it takes to be successful in that conference.
Yeah, obviously, you got to get guys that love basketball, right? It's a coaches in a players league. Obviously, usually it's the team with the most talent, right? There's always going to be great coaches. Rick Pitino was in the league when I was there. Joe Gallo had not come into the league yet. Joe's a good friend who's at Merrimack, who's done a tremendous job. John Dunn at Marist, veteran of the league, was at St. Peter's, coached me when I actually played at Siena back in the day. And his teams and his staff do a great job. He's got an assistant, Dilip Bhatia, is his associate head coach, and he actually is a rising star in the business as well. And their defense has been tops in the country for the last couple of years. Manhattan with Steve Masiello back in the day, he went to NCAA tournaments. I mean, the list goes on and on. You have, more New York guys and Tom Pecora at Quinnipiac, who was Jay Wright's guy at Hofstra back when I played at New Hampshire. So I think obviously Greg Paulus does a great job, and Jim Christian. So you got a bunch of guys. It's a great coaches league. It's a players league. And I feel like if you went and did a study, the guys that transferred up from the MAC, you could see the success they've had. Like I said, I had Jalen Pickett, who went to Penn State and was with the Nuggets. He's a free agent right now. And Javian McCollum, who's overseas, who, went to Oklahoma and Georgia Tech. And I had Gio Emajuru, who was, he wanted to stay at Siena, and I wasn't told how much money I had to keep him. So he goes to George Mason in East Carolina, and now he's with the Denver Nuggets. You can get some pros in that league. And I think now, you got to be able to retain them. But I think now, if you can evaluate, you can really get a leg up, because, I've been on the road all summer going to different events too, just, building relationships still, because you constantly have to do that. But you can still out evaluate people, because a lot of these guys at schools with money, they're not taking detailed notes and detailed evals. They think, oh, I'm just going to pay this guy and we're going to be good, as opposed to having that vision where it's like, oh, this guy in 3 years after he goes low major or mid major, so 1 year more at prep school and then 2 years at a low D1 or mid D1, he's a guy we're going to probably have to recruit. Let me assess his game right now and take some detailed notes. Oh, going left on that pull up, he really shorts his shot. He pulls the string, he doesn't follow through. But going right, he really gets to the cup well. He over dribbles going left. So I think my point is, the more detailed you are and the more kind of in tuned with everything, you're going to get ahead, just like anything in life, right? But I still think there's now even more people taking shortcuts, and they use the money as an excuse, right? Oh, well, we can just pay them. Well, relationships still do matter, right? Because if you have the same amount of money on the table, one coach knows your game in and out, the other saw you play but didn't take notes and thinks you're a righty when you're a lefty. Hey, I know where I'm sending my kid.
No doubt. And Carmen said something very important there about relationships. You know, with this new world of refs NIL, you have a guy 9 to 10 months max. So talk about the piece trying to build a relationship with a young man who's kind of a stranger to you, only have him for a short period of time, but you try to get maximize the most out of that young man in that 9 to 10 months that you do have them.
Yeah, and I'm sure Patrick can allude to this too, but I mean that's the hardest part, because like building genuine relationships is exhausting, right? It's invigorating, right? It fills your cup up because you're giving of yourself, and there's a true bond. The key is being able to find that true bond, because a lot of these kids now are almost trained by their parents. It's about the money. It's about kind of, being straight faced, and they don't really let you in. They're just kind of using you for the numbers they can get and produce, and hopefully you win. So if you can break that barrier down and get the guys that really love playing and buy in and really care about you as a person and get to know your family, now it's in a microwave, right? It's in a little shorter window. But that's the whole essence of it, right? It's less about the coaching now than it is about the belief in your players and your team and your coaching staff. And you have to create that in such a smaller window. And I think you guys have seen probably all the stories on Dusty May. And I've got to know Dusty from back when he was at FAU and then obviously Michigan and now with the Mavericks. But the guys that are able to get to that level really have it figured out with the team building, the chemistry, and how they're coaching their group and not manipulating, but pulling the right levers at the right time. Because, like I said, it's less about the game, it's more about psychology and the people. And then it's, hey, you could have a bad practice, but you still got to practice the next day. So you can't dwell on that, right? It's not like the old school coaches that could be pissed off and run their guys all the time because they're just not going to perform. So it's, and that's another thing, right? You continue to dive into that with the team building and the culture stuff. I'll be excited to see some of these teams that had bad years last year now have to bounce back this year, because now, as we know, the window for head coaches is much shorter too.
Yeah, coach. Just to piggyback on that, you talk about the team building and the psychology, and I think that's something that I had to kind of look in the mirror myself because of how coaching has changed. But I also like to see where does a kid come from in environment. And I know, now coaches are looking at the European pro or the overseas guy to build their roster because they feel like they already have that pro mentality, that accountability. Is there a distinction? And if there is in your mind, talk about that distinction between the overseas player and the domestic player when it comes to this environment.
Yeah, I think it, I think the one thing you have to talk about is like cultural differences, right? What country are they coming from? What was their club team like? How were they coached there? What was the style of play? Obviously, we see more of a transition to European basketball in college now with a lot of the five out and a lot of zoom actions and ball movement and pace. It's funny. When I played in Europe, a lot of it too was a lot of false motion, right? You have a lot of false motion until you get to like the meat and potatoes of the action, whether it's a ball screen or a cross screen. But I do think the hardest thing with that is your locker room, right? If you have four different guys from overseas and they all speak different languages, and now you got guys from, the East Coast and the West Coast and the South, I mean, the one thing that they can understand is the game of basketball, right? But how are they jiving and gelling off the court, right? The best teams I've been on or coached, they always had great relationships off the court. They cared about each other. There was a camaraderie. And then the worst teams I've been around, you had loners and guys that didn't care enough to give of themselves. They just cared about themselves, and you can say that's not selfish, they're just focused, but you can tell, right? And that's where I think your point guards are so important, right? I always find it tough, to see which teams have the international point guards and, how do they do and how do they lead versus, a guy that's, a floor general from over here. I've always always thought, the head coach and the point guard, they always have to be aligned. When there's alignment, you can see it. And that's also something where now you have to spend even more time watching film, especially with your point guard, of what you want as the head coach. And that's, when I had Jalen Pickett, we watched a ton of film, and it was good. And obviously it helps. He was super talented and he was really good in the ball screen. So it didn't really matter what I ran. And, we would do different things with manipulating angles of the ball screen. But, I watched more film with him on defensive stuff because we played pack line, and, sometimes he'd rather rest than pressure the ball.
And Carl, man, I'm gonna ask this question, man. So you coach Gale, like I know for me, I watch a lot of coaching you, a lot of slapping the glass, a lot of different stuff to get better and to be knowledgeable. So how do you now with this time off both of you have from being a full-time college head coach, how do you get better at the game right now for studying new trends, new actions, new schemes and that and those sorts of things? That's sort of thing now.
Yes, I mean, for me, same thing. A lot of podcasts. What I do too, which has helped me and kept me sharp, is I do all of our scouting for City Rocks in the EYBL. So not only am I helping our guys, but now I'm getting familiar with all the teams we play and their players. So, one thing we look at is, how many guys in their team, shoot and take threes, right? Because we're a pack line team. So certain guys we don't want to dribble. Or get open looks, certain things like that. But, I try to watch as much, European stuff as I can, whether it's on Synergy or Huddle Instat. And then obviously, the WNBA at this time now is good too, right? Because it's on TV, and I there's great coaches. There's great coaches there. Another former MAC coach is the head coach in the WNBA, Sidney Johnson. So he was at Fairfield at the time, when I got in the league. So yeah, there's always ways to get better, whether it's even just picking somebody's brain. I was in Boston. My wife's from there, so I went to a couple practices. I went to Boston U and Northeastern, and this was, a Friday afternoon and a Saturday morning practice, and it was over July 4th weekend. But I was able to get in there and see some things, and it's great just seeing people work because there's so many different ways to do it. And that's the other thing I learned, right? It's, hey, just know what you want to do, and then you just got to start, and you got to communicate what you want, as opposed to, thinking you can do it. If you think you can do it every way, you can, but you got to really be disciplined in what you want and how you want it done, as opposed to just kind of, being able to, just kind of go with the wind, right? You really want to put your flag in the ground and say, hey, we're a pack line team. We're not letting anyone go baseline. And our ball screen coverage is going to match our pack line. So we're going to be in a soft drop, or we're going to be in a blitz, or we're going to just be in a little, hard hedge. But I think that's really one of the things is, this time too, for me, I've sharpened up my philosophy with things I like. Now, you got to be able to adjust. And that was one of the things that really hurt me too, when I couldn't find the right point guard my last year at Siena, leading into that, what turned to be my last year. I tried to be an all motion team because I didn't really have the pure point guard I needed to run the team. But it's just, I had too many injuries and too many guys that, were in and out of the lineup. So I really never had the ability to do that. When we did, we won and, had scored over 90 points and won at Niagara. When we didn't, we lost and we scored 45 points at Iona. So, it is what it is.
Well, Coach, I definitely agree. I had to get back and go back to kind of my roots to just skill development, really work with, like you said, you work with your City Rocks group. I worked with some younger guys, ninth grade, 10th grade, because kind of challenged myself to kind of get them to where, you want them to be at the next level in college. But I have a question just following up on what you just said, with just looking back at your coaching tenure. So I believe you're a great coach, great communicator. You're going to do a great job at the next spot that you're at. But if you could talk to yourself, and you're at your job now, you're starting today, what would you tell yourself going into your new job of how you want your coaching philosophy to tweak a little bit? Or do you want it to change at all? Do you say, hey, this is a refresh and I'm going to be myself?
Yeah, I think always being yourself is key. I don't think I trusted myself. My first couple years, I had the staff that I had picked, and then you get staff departures and guys move on, and I had made a couple hires that I probably that didn't work. And you always try to look for the best in people, but for me, it's trust in your gut, right? I think ideally, right? And you sat in that chair, you know when you have to have that hard conversation, and you know how you feel after you've done that and it's gone well. And for me, it was all about like sensing that and knowing when to do it and doing it. But then I would still stick with, I like calling set plays. I like having guys kind of play out of like an early drag or, being able to advance it and go attack in transition. But then I want to run some families of plays and have some set plays because I'm much better knowing where the ball's got to go and teaching timing and spacing off of action and also being able to manipulate the defense off of kind of play calling than opposed to motion offense. I think it takes a special team and special players to be disciplined enough to run good motion offense all the time. And I think it's so hard to do that now with such a smaller window to get better. And same thing, I went back to, I love the player development side of it. For me, it's constantly learning that. So I'd be more involved in the player development side. I like to have my staff involved. And that's one other thing. I'm much better as like the CEO, as the head coach, where I have a coordinator for offense, a coordinator for defense, a recruiting coordinator, and then like a special teams and personnel coordinator. I was much better that way. But then also when you have staff changes, it's almost easier to try to do it all yourself. And for me, it's just that's I'm not at my best. I'm more of a detail guy and a guy that can kind of, clean this little thing up there that's going to really make a big impact as opposed to trying to do the whole thing and then delegate. I feel like if you already give somebody the ownership, they're going to actually take more pride in it too. And now you're only meeting with one person, right? You're only dealing with the defensive coordinator for defense, offensive coordinator, and it also creates some good camaraderie because the offensive coordinator may meet with the defensive coordinator and say, "Hey, what do you think?" or "How would you guard this?" And okay, well, it helps. And everybody really, doesn't have to feel some type of way, right? Oh, coach only listens to this guy, or this guy is only one bringing the players to the t it's like, no, this is his job. This is his job. And, we're aligned that way. So I would say those would probably be the three or four things. How about yourself?
Man, that's a great question. It's funny. Everything you're saying, I kind of agree with it. I think the biggest thing is, like you said, not trying to overcompensate and allowing the coaches to be their best. But it starts with picking the right people. It's different though at my level. You don't have the staff. You don't have as many. So I think we were hurting with not having as many people, good people. You can always get people, but you got to get good people that align with your vision. But the biggest thing is just having the players be more empowered to the team development. I think a lot of it now is getting players that have the right character of winning. And a lot of it, sometimes is you may take a player that's a little bit shorter, not as quick, but is really good at the locker room building, is really good at the communication, is really good at being genuine, and I think those are the things that I would definitely be harder on myself and getting the right type of guys around me, not just the coaching staff, but also the players. We all have to have the same vision. I tell them all the time, we can all eat if the team eats. But if we're just worried about individual accolades or individual goals, you're not going to be successful. You can have them. There's nothing wrong with it. But if it's not aligned with the team goals, no one's going to be successful. So that's the biggest thing that I would do.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think, the character piece is so important, right? If you got the right people on the bus, that bus is going places.
Yes.
If you got the guys that care about the wrong things or are surrounded by the wrong people and, you always got to try to get them back on the bus, you're taking too much time and energy to deal with that, which is taken away from where that bus is going. So I agree completely.
Well, I'll tell you what, Carmen, Coach Gale, it's been a hell of a interview here today with you, man. Carmen, I hope to see you on sidelines again. Maybe you coach get to go together one day. Who knows? You don't know how life goes. But I hope you all are back doing your thing on sidelines real soon. Y'all both deserve to be out here impacting young people the way you with the great minds both of you all have.
Awesome. Awesome. Patrick, I'll grab your number from Boss Man so we can connect too.
Absolutely, coach. Absolutely. Look forward to meeting you in person.
All right. Thanks, fellas.
Anytime, Carl. Appreciate you, brother.
Appreciate you guys.
Take care.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King, 50 King out at 105theking.com, and the Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, the Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's the Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to the Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.